Lord, thank you. You are our reality. Father, we praise you for your Christ. Thank you. We have a hunger for more reality. I'm sure the Father enjoyed the song we just sang because it's really about Christ being our reality. That is what the Father enjoys. The offering that was well-pleasing to the Father is Christ as our reality. The word was so clear to us. John 4 says, the Father seeks true worshippers. And who are these? These are those who worship him in spirit and in reality. And in John 14, the Lord also showed us, what is this reality? And he said, I am the reality. It's so good. When we read John 4, maybe you ask yourself, okay, how do I now worship the Father? How does it even work? What should I do? And then John 14, he doesn't tell us, okay, now there's a method, there are 10 steps you need to take. He just says, I am the reality. I am the way to worship the Father. I am the life. And that is so good. And that is well pleasing to the Father. It's really not enough that Christ just lives in us. Paul said in Galatians 4:19, he wants to see that Christ would be formed in the saints. This is something completely different. That Christ would be formed in us. The Father wants to see that the Lord isn't just in us, but that he would become visible within us, that he would grow. In Philippians 1, Paul also says he wants to magnify Christ in his body. The body is what you see outwardly. This verse, I really like this verse. To magnify Christ in my body. That shows he didn't just want to have Christ in him. He wanted that Christ would become so visible that you could see it. And that's also what the Father wants to see. It can't be that I'm a believer and the Lord lives in me and no one sees it. No one sees anything of this Christ in me. That shows Christ is yet to be my reality. And so I am so happy at this Young People's Conference we can see so much of the Lord. When I see the testimonies from this morning, from yesterday, and from the day before yesterday, I have to really praise the Father. It works. I'm so happy that so many of us are already bringing these offerings to testify how the Lord can change them through the Word. And this is what pleases the Father. This change through the Word. And Stefan already mentioned Philippians 3, verse 10. Philippians 3, 10. It says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. That's a really good verse. This Paul, this man, he was without blame before the law. He knew everything. He had this attitude. Everything that I know, it's rubbish. It's lost to me. I want to know Christ. And not in a general way. He was very concrete. I want to know the power of his resurrection. We all know that he resurrected. But for Paul, it wasn't enough for him just to know this. He wanted to experience the power of his resurrection as well as the sufferings. Yeah. We need such a hunger for this reality. In the outline we wrote, hunger for reality in 7D1. And I think the Lord is also giving us this hunger. It's not enough just to touch the Word. I need to lay hold of and grasp Christ. And it's not enough just to hear a word, but the Word has to be formed in me. He has to become my reality. And I thought somehow, when you read verse 10, these are all things we already know. When we preach the gospel, we always say, yeah, the Lord died for you, he resurrected, and he ascended. But this is something different in verse 10. I want to have him. And another point about this quote, this, it's not about a matter of law, what you can and cannot say in a testimony. But the point is, we often say we've been touched. But the concept behind this is that I go into the meeting and we have this concept, it's good enough when the word touches me, and I just give a testimony and I only say what touches me. And I've noticed by myself in the last few months, when I go to the meetings and I give a testimony and I say I've been touched by something, then often it's a substitute for not having a true offering. And if I really had an offering, I would have said, I experienced the Lord in such and such a way. But when I don't have an offering, then I have a replacement and I just say, oh, this touched me in the message. And it's not a matter of, okay, you can't use this word anymore, you can't say you were touched. No, it's not a matter of a law. But it's not enough to just touch the word. It's of course good when the word touches us. But this word also has to become our reality. For a word to just touch me, it doesn't suffice if you live Monday through Saturday in your flesh, and then Sunday morning you go to the meeting, and yeah, you do turn, and you truly turn to the Lord, and you really want to gain something of the Lord and receive something from Him, and He also, the Lord also touches you. But that's not what pleases the Father. When you go to the table and you say, I praise you that you died for me, but from Monday to Saturday you didn't experience his death and you lived in yourself, what will the Father say when you give this praise? The Father will say, okay, it's nice that the Son died for you, but why haven't you experienced this during the week? And you know, this is what it's about. The Father doesn't want to see that something touched you and that you praised him for what touched you, but that it becomes your reality. And then I wouldn't just say on Sunday, Lord and Father, I praise you that your Son died for me, but you would say, I have an offering to bring. I had an experience. Yeah, for example, I was in an experience on Tuesday in a situation, my flesh came up, and I wanted to react, but then I said, hallelujah, you have died for me, and I have been crucified with you, and I lay hold of you now as my offering. That is an offering. That is an experience. It's much different than saying, I just praised the Lord and was touched that he has died for me. We really need a change in our concepts and in our thoughts. I notice it myself in the church life, and we're so programmed. Something impressed me, something touched me, and I want to share it. But I want to exercise, not to just share something, but to bring an offering. It's a matter of our attitude. I want to give the Lord an offering, the Father an offering. And Paul wanted this reality. I want to know the power of his resurrection. On Sunday, I don't only want to praise him for his death, I want to experience it during the week. Before the UCOM, I really had a good experience with the Sabbath. Stefan mentioned a verse in Colossians 2. 16 and 17. So let no one judge you in food or in drink or regarding a festival or a new moon or Sabbaths, which are a shadow of things to come, but the substance is of Christ. And before the UCO there was a lot to do with studying and with weddings, yeah. And it took so much time. I was so not at rest. And I thought, something is not right. How can it be that I know the Lord is my Sabbath and my rest, but the whole day I'm fully not at rest? There's so much unrest in me. And at night, the Lord showed me, this is the problem when we don't have the reality. We know the Lord is our rest, but we don't experience this. And day after day, we live in unrest. And I said, Lord, I lay hold of you as my Sabbath. You are the true Sabbath. And you know, right away, within a short amount of time, the rest came, the peace came. And I had such a praise for the Father. Thank you that this Christ is my Sabbath rest. In the Old Covenant, there was this Sabbath, this rule. Okay, yeah, there's one day during the week that is holy, and you should rest on this day. But here it says, this Sabbath in the Old Covenant was just a shadow. What's a shadow in comparison with the reality? This cup also casts a shadow. But what's the shadow compared to the actual substance in the cup? It's the same with the Lord. He has to become our reality. And I was so happy. Praise the Father. Before they only had an outward law, they always had to wait for this one day where they could enter into the rest. And even when that day was there, the rest was only outward. For their soul, they had no rest. But today, praise the Lord. The Lord is our Sabbath. We don't have to wait until Saturday. We can live Him every day and experience Him every day as our rest. And I really treasure, yeah, the Lord is my reality, and I want to grasp hold of Him more. How can we lay hold of this reality even more? Let's go to Hebrews 11. Let's all read Hebrews 11, verse 1. Amen. Hebrews 11:1. Let's read it first in German and then in English all together. So first in German and then all the English-speaking saints in English. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. In English. Amen. Praise the Lord. This verse has become very precious to me. When I ask, how can I gain more substance after the yuko in my daily life, then this verse is so important. And here it says very explicitly, how do we enter into the reality? Now, faith is the substance. In German it says it's the realization. It's made reality. For us, faith is just, yep, I believe something is right. For faith, something means, yeah, okay, I believe something that I don't see is indeed true. I believe, I'm not sure, but I believe. I believe in the Lord. Sometimes we mean, I believe that He died for me and that He resurrected for me, etc. But in the word it says, faith is the realization, the actualization. According to this verse, who is a believer? Who is someone who has faith? It's someone who makes Christ reality every day. And praise the Lord, this faith is something that the Lord has given us. Something we've already seen in John 14:16, that's also in the outline. Our spirit is a spirit of truth or a spirit of reality. And what does the spirit do in us? He guides us into all truth. That's why the spirit is in us. To bring us into the reality of Christ every day. That's why the spirit is there. In 2 Corinthians 4:13 says, we have a spirit of faith, the same spirit of faith, and we have to put it together with Hebrews 11:1. What does the spirit do in us? What does the faith do in us? It brings us into the reality. It makes Christ real. And it's not enough just to say, Lord, give me life through the Spirit. But Lord, Spirit, bring me into the reality. After this Yuko, we're going home soon. Today is Thursday. I'm actually really happy about the time after the conference. So many chances to lay hold of this reality, to implement what we have heard. Like, we shouldn't think that there's pressure or that it's hard and we have to do something. But we have this spirit of faith. This spirit is the realization, the making into reality of all that we have heard. All that we have heard, the Spirit will make it a reality for us. And I wanted the English-speaking saints to read it because in English it says the evidence. It's the evidence of things not seen. You know, the Lord is now, today, the Spirit. You can't see Him with your physical eyes. And for the unbelievers in the world, they for sure cannot see the Lord. But if the Lord is formed in us and is made reality in us, it becomes an evidence of things not seen for the unbelievers and for the world. And I said to the Lord, I want to experience this evidence. Isn't it so good when we pursue the reality and Christ is formed in us? And then everyone who sees you sees living evidence. Then you don't even have to say so much. They come to you and they ask you, what's with you? You are much different now. And then you can testify of the Lord. That wasn't me. It was Christ in me. Praise the Lord. And then people have evidence. Then our gospel isn't just a theoretical truth. But we live Christ out. Paul says, for me to live is Christ. This verse is so wonderful. Now, faith is the substance, the realization, the making of reality, of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The more the Lord becomes our reality, the more the things that are in the Word would become a reality for us. And if we read further in Hebrews 11, I would encourage you all to read Hebrews 11. You can see then how this faith really was a reality for so many in the Old Covenant, especially verse 4. Didn't just touch me, I ate it and enjoyed it. Let us read 4. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it he, being dead, still speaks. Amen. Wonderful. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice. And here we see faith has something to do with sacrifice. The first example was about someone who brought God an offering, and he did it through faith. Abel didn't have the spirit of truth and the spirit of faith, but still, he brought something into reality. And if we read in Genesis 4, he brought a sheep from his herd, and the New Testament shows us, who is the real sheep, the real lamb? It's the Lamb of God, Christ. Abel already knew the one thing that pleases God is Christ, this lamb. And he took this sheep. And it says so clearly in Genesis 4, he didn't just take any old lamb. He took the first fruits of his herd. He says, bring, yeah, the first fruit, the firstborn of your flock and of their fat. Genesis 4:4. And this is wonderful. And it says, he brought a more excellent sacrifice. And God accepted this offering. And this is another picture. This is a shadow. It shows us the Father wants the reality of Christ. This pleases him. And the second part of this verse really is something I enjoyed. Through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts.
Wow.
Who gives the testimony in our meetings? We give the testimony. I give a testimony. I want to share something. But with Abel, God testified. He gave the testimony because he enjoyed the sacrifice. Oh, I want to experience this in our meetings. Wouldn't we rather offer something and God testifies of it rather than my giving a testimony? I want to experience this, that God, the Father, testifies and says, this pleases me. To Abel, he said, this pleases me. And it was a sweet-smelling aroma for him. It says, God testifying of his gifts. When we bring the Lord into the meeting as our offerings, the Father will testify of our gifts. And the Father will give such a confirmation after this conference. This is what I want. And yesterday after the meeting, I spoke with some brothers. And some asked, okay, we've received this burden during the Young People's Conference, but we're only 5 young people in our church. And there are 35 old saints. So how can we bring this back? And we said, we saw, yeah, when we young people exercise to bring this offering to the Lord, to the Father, the whole church will be renewed. Don't think we're just a few young people. What can we do? What difference can we make? No, exercise to bring the offerings. And I'm convinced that the Father will testify of these gifts, and it will give the older saints such a confirmation. Amen. I too want this. Praise the Lord. This is so good. God testified of his gifts. And in verse 5 regarding Enoch, it says, by faith Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. It doesn't say that he accomplished a testimony, but it says that he pleased God. If there's one thing that should remain in our hearts after this conference, is that we want to please and satisfy the Father. And Hebrews shows us this is through faith. After the conference, we will need our faith. You don't have to be a prophet to say, yeah, there won't be as glorious as it is here at the conference. Of course, here at the conference, there's so many saints. You're in the flow of life from morning till night. And then after the conference, maybe you're alone. Some of us are in cities where there aren't even saints near us. But praise the Lord, we have the spirit of faith. We've received it in order to experience and touch the reality. And I want to encourage all of us, let us really use our faith. This faith brings to reality things we don't yet see. Sometimes we notice, I'm so far from what the Word says. And some think, how am I supposed to implement what I've seen here, what I've heard here? The way is faith. On Monday, when your emotion rises and you realize there's resistance in you, then say, Lord, I use my faith. I exercise my spirit of faith. I want to enter into the reality through my faith. And as I had this experience regarding the Sabbath rest, I realized in myself there was no rest. What should I say? Oh, I can't make it? No, I need to use my faith. Lord, you are the true Sabbath. I believe in your word. And if we work together with faith in such a way, we will gain the reality. And it will surely be in such a way that we will also come into the meetings. There will be thoughts. Oh, maybe I don't really have an offering, and then this, our habits will come again. And then we have to say, no, Lord, I give myself to you. I exercise my faith. I want to bring you an offering. I want the reality. Lord, I don't want to do as I have done before. Praise the Lord, we've received the spirit of faith. He is the substance, the evidence of things not seen. And if Enoch had this testimony, how much more can we also have this testimony because we have received the spirit of faith? And let us read 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Amen. Without faith, and this faith that brings reality, without faith, it is impossible to please him. If we read it another way, with faith, it is possible. Will you go home now and exercise this faith in our daily life, regardless of our emotion, regardless of the situation, regardless of what others do in the meeting? If everyone's there passive and just sits there, don't let yourself be, don't let this be contagious for you. I am here for the Father. The Father should be satisfied. And for this, I use my faith. And you can read many more examples here about Noah and Abraham. So many examples. By faith, Abraham obeyed. What do you do in your daily life and the Lord speaks to you? Leave this. Do that. And you realize, you want to be obedient, but you're fighting within. Use your faith. Lord, you are my burnt offering. You are the one who was always obedient to the Father, and you live in me. Lord, I use my spirit of faith. I take you as my burnt offering to be obedient to the Father. And so there's so many experiences and so many opportunities. Lord, you are my meal offering. Replace my humanity. You can read it yourself in Hebrews 11, but let's read the last two verses in Hebrews 11, 39 and 40. And later, after this, we can continue to offer. And all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise, God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. Hallelujah. God has provided something better for us. And what is that? The entire fullness of Christ. And he's the full reality of everything that is spoken of in the Word. We have the spirit of faith. We have the spirit of truth and reality through which we can experience him. And one last point. The word perfect is here. And it's so wonderful, saints. When we do this, when we use our faith, we can be made perfect. This is the way to perfection. This is not only the way to satisfy the Father, it is the way to perfection. It's the way that will bring us to maturity, that will make us first fruits. This is how this chapter closes. That they should not be made perfect apart from us. So this really is the way to perfection. If we experience all of Christ in such a way, and to bring the Father an offering, not just one Sunday after the Eucharist, but all the time, then the Lord, the Father, will perfect us.